This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Right now, we're taking a look at a program that was announced last week in Madison and could change how the city approaches drug addiction. The Madison Police Department received a $700,000 federal grant that will help pilot the Madison Addiction Recovery Initiative. The program would allow officers to offer treatment to low-level drug offenders instead of giving them jail time.
The grant from the U.S. Department of Justice is expected to fund the pilot program for 3 years. It would put low-level offenders with drug addictions into a system that would offer immediate treatment, the goal to offer a more permanent solution instead of repeated arrests of people with drug dependencies.
Joining us now to tell us more about this program is Mike Koval, Chief of Police for the Madison Police Department. Chief Koval, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you've said that with this grant, you feel like for the first time in a long time, you can make a difference. What makes you say that?
Well, you know, it's just that I've spent over my entire adult professional life in this field, and I've just gotten so much to the point of being so frustrated with that. The brick and mortar traditional criminal justice response to this has been wholly inadequate. It's so darn pricey, and at the end of the day, it really doesn't get anything towards the root causes of why people offend because of an addictive proclivity there. And in that sense, I think that we can offer a lot more at, I think, a better price point in the long run, get to the core of addiction, and understand that when someone is literally sick, as we see somebody in a typical modality of sickness, prevention and otherwise, that I think you'll find that we don't have to criminalize these folks who have that problem.
So looking at that, the traditional approach until now has been to give someone maybe some jail time, a fee. Mm-hmm. So how do you see this changing? Can you lay out what the new plan would look like?
Well, sure. It actually means that the officers are sort of at a point of contact, point of treatment options. Certainly people are empowered to make their choices, but it's nice to be able to say that rather than going to the jail and getting your booking picture taken, that we can take you through a treatment methodology. And I think that will be infinitely better, and I'm hoping a lot of people go through that portal.
So a treatment methodology, so the officer sounds like will offer treatment as an option instead, and what happens next?
Well, once we make those identifications, we literally will be taking them then to an intake counselor who, working with providers who both represent residential and outpatient treatment, and also they'll be assigned a peer support recovery coach. So that'll provide immediate help as well as ongoing and continuing support during their treatment periods.
Do you get the sense that being able to intervene at this particular part in the process, there's been a low-level offense that involves someone who has a dependency on drugs, that this is maybe a crucial time in this person's life when they might be more willing to think about getting treatment?
I really do think so, because the fact of the matter is that when you are so tied inextricably to getting that next drug fix or whatever, this is the time when instead of punishing you and we're offering you a better option, a path of lesser resistance, and quite frankly, we're hoping that will also mean some cut down, frankly, in our property crimes that are being committed. So it does still have a gainful purpose for us, as well as, I think, from a community health standpoint, in that we're looking for a reduction in the rates of overdose and overdose-related deaths, which have been skyrocketing the last couple of years.
And you mentioned maybe a decrease in property crimes. What are some of the other goals of the program?
Well, of course, the first thing is that if we can have this partnership that really works well with providers, then I think then that the ultimate goal is that people will feel less resistance and can even do self-referrals. They don't even have to be on the precipice of committing a crime. If they know that there are these portals of entry through the conventional way, but even through their own police department, I'm hoping that we will see an improvement in public safety. It'll be improvement in community health. And we're hoping to get as high as up to 150, 160 participants on a yearly basis. That's our hope.
Now, is this a different role for officers at a time when they might normally be making arrests? Instead, they're channeling someone toward treatment. Do they have the training here?
Yes, and the officers will be very anxious to embrace this kind of a training because whether they be detectives who are assigned to a drug unit or officers who are constantly chasing these overdoses all over the city. I think we've all grown road weary of seeing this cyclical effect. And so many of these individuals, we have been administering naloxone 2, 3, 4 times in some instances. And so you really feel like you're stuck on this carousel ride that nobody can stop and nobody can get off. So to us, this looks like a very erstwhile kind of option for us. And I think that the officers will be eager to try this out on the street.
We're talking with Madison Police Department Chief right now, Mike Koval, joining us to talk about the Madison Addiction Recovery Initiative, a federal grant that would give treatment to nonviolent drug offenders instead of jail time. And you mentioned earlier that you think that this is actually going to save money along the way, too, aside from all the other things we've been talking about. How would that work?
Well, you know, so much of what we do when we do institutional care, meaning throwing people in jail, is extremely expensive. It doesn't, again, get to the actual treatment of people. It's just a maintenance sort of program. And so you're no better off, and frankly, it's pretty expensive. And I think that what we're hoping to see, and this will hopefully be borne out by the UW-Madison researchers who will be literally looking at this for its cost effectiveness, is that it's a lot easier to provide more people outpatient treatment than inpatient treatment. So I think that there's going to be a lot of things to be looked at, and I think that one of the things is that there are a lot of erstwhile outpatient treatments that can be done, especially since we're going to be dedicating some money to peer support recovery coaches who can ensure that people are making their appointments and getting the help they need.
Now, as I understand it, the federal grant would not pay for the treatment itself, and it would not pay for a bed in a facility either. Do you consider either of those things hurdles that still need to be overcome for a lot of people?
Yes, I do. I don't think that we by any way have turned a corner on this, but at the end of the day, I still think that the alternative, something, is infinitely better than what's currently offered, which is very little to nothing. And so I tend to want to look at this as the glass is being half full, and we're going to get an impetus of help, hopefully from other partners in our community who will step up and see what kind of results this can have.
Has this kind of program had good results in other cities?
Well, I've always been envious because I first started seeing this being done by a chief of police in Gloucester, Massachusetts, a number of years ago, who had the luxury of telling his officers to drop those people who had overdosed directly off at a hospital or a treatment center. They had those kind of infrastructure resources that I was green with envy to read about. And we haven't had that same luxury here. But in a smaller scale, closer to home, preliminarily, we've seen some very promising results out of Seattle, and even Greenfield, Wisconsin started a little bit about this earlier this year.
And you know, Wisconsin has been hit especially hard by the opioid epidemic. How do you see this new program maybe having a positive, hopefully, impact on that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Your discussion about the devastating effects of it has certainly never been more self-evident when I look at my smartphone every 8 hours and see how many of these calls we go on. We literally have risen to a point where it's sevenfold what we've seen since we started tracking this just 5 years ago. And obviously our officers are going through naloxone like you can't believe. So we're hoping that this will give us an impetus again to sort of see whether we can't turn a corner and reverse the scales of what the statistics have warranted to date.
And, you know, one thing that I noticed you've been thinking about is that is the families who are involved when we talk about people with addiction problems and how it's the families, children, spouses who suffer, too. Are you hopeful that this program could have a positive impact there and help not just one person but entire families?
Oh, I do, because it's becoming increasingly difficult for us not to see someone in our circle of friends where heroin hasn't had an impact or some sort of opiate hasn't had an impact on someone we know and love and care about. And it's those secondary and tertiary victims that really break your heart as well, because they, too, are living this incredible roller coaster ride. And more often than not, we're seeing that with the heroin that's coming into Madison laced with fentanyl, our naloxone administration is becoming even sort of more and more needed, and yet it doesn't have the same the same potency. So we are having more people succumb to death, and seeing these families rocked asunder, such as it is by this, is really draws on your heartstrings. The letters that I've gotten would make you cry.
What kind of letters?
Well, I've had a gentleman who said basically that for those who think that those who are constantly using naloxone and take sort of a cynical Darwinian rule, he has related to me how the fact that one of our officers administered naloxone, that was a turning point. She had overdosed before, but in this instance, maybe it was her third time, this was nevertheless that point in which she was literally pulling herself up from the bootstraps, and they had the resources to move her out of state and get some help, and she's working jobs. And he reported to me about a year, it's been about a year since when we had our encounter with her, when she was literally pulseless and non-breathing. And so to see those sort of success stories from brinksmanship of death really makes you very, very gratified.
And you're hoping to see more of those,
exactly.
It sounds like. And another aspect of this plan we haven't touched on yet is it sounds like for some people, at a certain point, they could also have their record wiped clean. How would that work?
Well, again, this goes to the bigger part of CCAP and other things, but if we can avoid from having someone go through the booking process or to be charged with a crime at the outset, that means that you're not going to have a rap sheet or a record of arrests and prosecutions. And I obviously have some very strong feelings with what CCAP can do. It's sort of an insidious form of institutional racism for unscrupulous people because, you know, those who aren't ethical, landlords or potential employers, they look at CCAP at that arrest column and find all kinds of ways to disqualify people from participating in society. And so if we can avoid the stream of those people going to CCAP in the first place, that's also another positive win out of this.
And Chief Koval, just briefly before we let you go, when does this all get started?
Well, we hope to get it started in the first quarter of 2017 with our partners from Public Health and the University and oh so many others that there's a lot of things to coordinate and people to hire, but we're very anxious about getting it launched. So by early 2017, we should be able to report back to you on what it looks like.
Great. Well, Chief Koval, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing more.
Thanks for getting this story out. We appreciate it.
That was Mike Koval, Chief of Police for the Madison Police Department. And he joined us there to talk about the Madison Addiction Recovery Initiative, federal grant money that would give treatment to nonviolent drug offenders instead of giving them jail time.